Okay, we're starting here at the top of Hey Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday discussing the fact or the statement of Rav Anan Amar Shmuel that in Yisrael Mumar, Lavadat Chochamim, his Shechita is fine. The proof that he wanted to bring was from the fact that Yehoshaphat participated in a Seuda with Achav, and Achav was a Mumar, Lavadat Chochamim. Nevertheless, he partook of Vayizbach, that he partook of the Seuda, the Shechita that was prepared by Achav and his people. So from that he wanted to prove that a Mumar Lavadat Kochavim was fine. The last thing the Gemara suggested was maybe that Achav's people took care of the Seuda for Achav, and Yoshaphat's people took care of his Seuda for Yoshaphat. So the Gemara rejected that and said, Lava Maflik Nafshemine, it would never have been that separate. The whole idea of the meal was to bring them together, to suggest that they ate their own meals and their own food, that would have made them two separate. Now what is important to remember is that they are actually mechutanim, that Yehoshaphat and Achav have an alliance through their children, because Yehoram, Yehoshaphat's son, married Achav's daughter. So they had connections not only because one was the Melech Yehuda and one was Melech Yisrael, but also because their children had married. So now the Gemara says, Minolan. How do we know that they were so close? Ilaim Amidichti, because it says in the Pasuk, when Achav proposes, suggests, or tries to seduce Yehoshaphat to join him in the battle by Ramot Gilad, the response that he says is, Kamoni Kamocha, Ki Ami Ki Amcha. So it sounds like very similar to Megillat Ruth. But here we have, Kamoni Kamocha, whatever happens to me is to you, and my nation is like your nation. That sense of unity, that sense of oneness, maybe that's what proves it. Elamiato, the pasuk continues and says, Kisusai kisusecha, that my horses will be like your horses. So hachanami, what are you going to say about that? That's not about an inunity of unity, eating together, being together. Elama, the havi asusecha, to havi asusai, whatever happens to your horses will happen to my horses, my cavalry, your cavalry, what happened to my cavalry? Achanami, my dahava lecha, vi levaya mecha, whatever happens to you and your nation, tabi alai, vi levaya mi, what happened to me and my nation. So the sense of unity here is not about them eating together or reyut and friendship, it's about their alliance, and it's talking about going into the battle. Surprise, the Gemara doesn't bring here. Gemara here is quoting from Elohim. If you go to Divrei Hayamim, where it tells the story, it's very obvious. There it says, Kamoni, Kamocha, Kami, Kamacha, Imcha Milchama. It says it straight out, that we're with you for the battle. So that's exactly what the Gemara is saying here, that the Susai Susecha proves that this is about the battle, not about the meal that takes place beforehand, or the invitation that Achav had extended to Yehoshaphat, where they eat together before they head out to Ramat Gilad. So Gemara says, all right, El Mehocha, maybe from here. Umelech Yisrael, Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda, Yoshvim, Ish, Al Kiso, Melubashim, Bigadim, Bigoren, Petach Shar Shomron. After they get together, they're sitting in front of Shar Shomron, and they want to have a Navi to come before them and explain to them or tell them what's going to happen in the battle. So they call before him all these Nevi'im, and they're all Nevi'e Sheker. And Yehoshaphat speaks up and says, is there any Nevi'e Emet in here? Do we have a Navi'e Emet that can come tell us what's really going to happen? And sure enough, they find a Navi Emet that comes and predicts there that Achav will not return from the battle of Ramot Gilad, whereas Yehoshaphat will return safely and come back home because he follows in the way of Hashem. But that's what they are sitting. Now the Gemara's question is, wait a minute. They're sitting, Begorin, and then they're Petach Shar Shomron. So the Gorin is the area where they bring in all the grains and they process the grains, whereas Shar Shomron is the gateway to Shomron, which would be the capital city, capital area of Malchut Yisrael. So why would you have a Goren that is sitting right in front of Shar Shomron? That's the Gemara's question. My Goren. What's this Goren that we're talking about here? Ilema Goren Mamash. If you think it's actually a Goren, a threshing floor, place where they process the grains, Atu Shar Shomron Goren Abo. Shar Shomron, which is a gateway, an entrance to a major city, a major area within the Malchut Yisrael, that's going to have a Goren place there? It seems to be misplaced. Elaki Goren. We're sitting in Shar Shomron like a Goren. It's not, and then we have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, how the Sanhedrin was laid out. Sanhedrin haita kichatzi Goren agula. Kadeshiyu ro'im zedzeh. So the Sanhedrin was laid out in a semicircle, nor that each person could see each other. When everyone spoke, they were able to see the other one speaking. They didn't make it into a full circle for the ease of access, so people could get in and out. of the area. The same thing over here. They were sitting in that similar manner. That Shar Shamon, and they're sitting in a semicircle. That's the indication that they were together, that there was some sort of reyut, friendship, and connection between Yehoshaphat and Ahav, that here they were sitting together, laid out like a chatzi goren, and they're sitting in the same area, enjoying each other's company. So you see that Yehoshaphat partook of this meal that Ahav had provided, and that's Rav Anan bar Shmuel's proof that even a mumar davar zarah shechita is okay. So lema misayile. Let's say in addition to that, we have another proof from there in Melachim, which is the story of Eliyahu. It says, V'ha'orvim mevim lo lechem u'basar b'boker, v'lechem u'basar b'arev. So Eliyahu Navi, after he says to Ahav, he says, there will be no rain and no water in this area. It's going to be dried out the entire Shomron because you do not keep the word of Hashem. And Eliyahu goes and hides out in the desert, leaves, goes by himself into the desert, and he has an experience similar to that of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he's up on the mountain, Hashem appears to him, and he also gets fed by the Orvim. The ravens are bringing him food, lechem. Where did they get the basar from to bring him? They were bringing it from the butcher area of Ahav, meaning from the kitchens of Ahav. The Orvim would go in, pick up some meat, and bring it out to Eliyahu. So now the Gemara says, Al Pia Dibur Shaini. That came from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that was at the directive of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the ravens were bringing that meat. Therefore, you can't bring any proof from there that Mumar L'Avodah Zarah's meat is okay. And Rashi says, Al Pia Dibur Shaini, Shekodesh Baruch Hu Heitiru Lifi Sha'ah. Kodesh Baruch Hu said it was mutar for that moment. Rashi is somewhat ambiguous. But the implications from Rashi are that the meat, even though it was done by Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, and might have questions about it in other locations, over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a dispensation and says it's okay, the Orvim can bring it. Tosa says, how could that be? It doesn't make any sense. It says, how can we say that there's a dispensation here to eat meat that otherwise would have been problematic? Tosa says that the only suspension that's going on here is a concept called basar nitalei min ha'ayin, something that we'll discuss later on in the Masechta, that Rav has a principle that any meat that leaves the eye, meaning that it's not under control of a Jew and not shamur, loses its status as being kosher meat. So over here, this is a classic basar nitalei min ha'ayin. It leaves the kitchen of Ahav, and then it ends up in Eliyahu. In between, there was no human eye placed on it. So says, that's the only suspension here. This al pi dibur shaini is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's bringing the meat to him, so therefore it doesn't have a classification of basar nitalei min ha'ayin. So that's the only suspension here. But not to say that the meat wasn't kosher or the meat was somehow problematic out of the kitchens of Ahav. It was kosher meat. It just would have been basar nitalei min ha'ayin. That's suspended over here. Rashi is ambiguous, although in comparison to Tosfos, it seems like he's a little stronger language of the heter over here, but you're right, it could be read just like Tosfos. So now, my Orvim. So what are these Orvim? Samaravina, Orvim Mamash, ravens, literally, they're the ones that brought the food to Eliyahu, they provided food to Eliyahu in the midbar. So Amarle Ravada Ramyume, Vidilmatre Gavre, Davishmayu Orvim. Maybe it's two gentlemen who were bringing the food to Eliyahu, and their names were, happened to be Orvim. So Gemara says, Eloktiv, didn't written. I mean that you think that's funny, that their names would be Neom Orvim. I have a proof from the Shoftim by Gidon. When they go out to battle against Midian, it says, Vayarguet Orev, Bitsur Orev, Vedzeev, Beyekev Zeev. You have these two kings, or these two important individuals. One was called Orev, and the other one was called Zeev. So you see, people do have the name Orev. It's not so far-fetched to say that they had the name Orev. Okay, fine. So one of them has the name Orev or Orvim. Two of them have the same name? But it just happens to be the two people that are providing the food to Eliyahu have exact same name? So he says, V'dilma Hashem Mikoman. Maybe that's because of their location, where they came from. Their name was not, that wasn't their personal name, but was their name in terms of identifying them from where they were from. They were Ish Orev. So why is that? Miloktiv. Don't we have a pasuk? Which is Aram Yatsu Gidudim. Vayishbu Me'eretz Yisrael Na'ara Ktana. So this is the ascension of Aram. This is with Naaman. The famous story of Naaman, who has Tzorat and eventually comes to Elisha to get cured. And his right-hand man, Gehazi, gets into trouble over there and then ends up with the Tzorat of Naaman. Naaman went to Elisha because of this Na'ara Ktana. This Na'ara Ktana was taken captive, a Jewish girl that was taken captive. She mentions to the wife of Naaman, why doesn't he go to the Navi? Why doesn't he go to Navi Elisha? So that's how Naaman ended up over there, because this Na'ara Ktana. So they took into captivity, Aram took into captivity this Na'ara Ktana. What's the problem? Gashalan Kra. Pasuk is a problem. Why? Kari lo Ne'ara, v'kari la Ktana. uses two adjectives that are, by definition, soter achad et hasheni. Impossible, but you can't be a nara and a ketana. Ketana indicates someone who is below the age of maturity, whereas nara is already at the age of maturity. So Amar Rav Uktat, I'll explain to you the statement. Ketana, she was a ketana before the age of maturity, but diminu uran, she was from the uran. That was the name of her location. Nara was an indication of where she's from. So say the same thing over here. The Orvim are not their names, but an indication of where they were from. So fine, they had two people. So, oh, what about all the other people that came from there? True. But Elio had to keep it quiet. He was hiding out of the Midbar. He didn't want anybody to know about it. He doesn't want Achab to know where he is. So he had two people that were supplying him from that area. Yeah, there are more people from that area, but these two happen to be the individuals he chose to do it. So Mar says, Im Kain Orvim mi Boyele. It should have said Orvim, meaning people from Orev, not Orvim. The Torah in other places writes it Chaser, and that Tosfos points out that many places it's read in Mitzriim, without two Vavs, Mitzrayim, without two Yuds, and we don't have any problem with it, so why over here do you have to worry about it so much? But he says, in those cases, you won't get mixed up. He says, in a case where you could read it Orvim or Orvim, then the Torah has to lay out for you which of the two it is. In places like Mitzriim, and Mitzrayim, where you're not going to get confused. There's no other option. There, we don't worry about it. The Torah's not makpid to write it out properly. So Omar says, all right, so Omar leaves that alone. This is just a sidebar to discuss how Eliel was fed over there, how the actual meat got to him from the Beit Mechaya, from the kitchens of Achav. But the proof is not a good proof, because we said, Alpia Dibor Shiny. That was a different location. So now, Lema Messiah. Let's say this is a proof to Rav Anan Amar Shmuel, Ko Shochatin, Vafilu Kuti, Vafilu Arel, Vafilu Yisrael Mumar. It's the same Braita that we quoted yesterday as a proof to Rova. And we rejected it as a proof for Rova. Now we're going to bring it as a proof to Rav Anan Amar Shmuel. Hi Arel, Hechidami. Ilema Shemetu Echav Machmat Mila, that his brothers died because of Mila. Hi Yisrael Malyu. This guy is a full-fledged Yisrael. Elav Shita. He must be a Mumar, Larelut. He is an Arel, but he's a full-fledged Jew in terms of any other status. There are very few things that he can't do. Korban HaPesach is maybe the only thing that he can't do. And if he's a Kohen, maybe he can't serve in the Mikdash. But other than that, he's not precluded from any mitzvah. He's a full-fledged Jew that can do Shechita. Why should there be any questions about his status? Elab Shechita, he must be Mumar L'Arelut. Problem is, Arelut is something that where he himself is rejecting Arelut. We discussed yesterday, Rashi talks about being Boet. The Rambam talked about it because he didn't want to go through the pain. Whatever the reason is, that he's a mumar la'arelut. Same as seifa, by afilu Yisrael mumar. The bright explicitly says about Yisrael mumar, hechidami, imumar la'davar echad. He's a mumar for one item, hainu mumar la'arelut. That's the same thing as being a mumar la'arelut. El alav, what's the case here? It's mumar la'avadat kochavim. And despite that, he's still allowed to do shkita for Rav Anan. That'll be a support to the position of Rav Anan. So now the Gemara will go the other way. Lo. The olam eim lecha mumar la'avadat kochavim lo. That doesn't work. Da mamar. Avodat Kochavim has a status, a higher elevated status, to the point where one who rejects Avodah Zarah is like as if he was keeping the whole Torah. And obviously someone who worships Avodah Zarah is if he rejects Kol HaTorah Kula, and he would not allow to be doing Shechita. Ela Mumar Lo Oto Davar. What's the answer? The answer is that he is a Mumar L'Teavon by Shechita. He's a Mumar to that item itself, to the Shechita itself. Uke de Rava. And like Rava. So yesterday we brought the bright as a proof to Rava, and we rejected it and said it was a Avodah Zarah, and not like Rava. Over here where we're trying to prove it's a Avodah Zarah like Rav Anan, we reject and say it's like Rava. The basic premise of the Gemara is that the bright is ambiguous enough that it doesn't necessarily have to be a proof to Rava or to Rav Anan Amar Shmuel. They say different things, and it's a proof to neither, because you could learn like either one. You could learn like Rava, or you could learn like Rav Anan. If that's the case, it can't be a proof to either of them, since whichever one you want to go to prove, you can say it really is the other. It says in the second pasuk in Vayikra, when you bring a korban, it says that you bring a mikem from you. Mikem with a mem means velo kulchem, lotziat mumar. Not all of you will bring these korbanot. Some of you will bring them. Lotziat mumar. Mikem bachem chilakti velo bilmot. Within Jews, I make such a distinction that only some of you will bring it. By the non-Jews, by the umot olam, everybody has the same status. We know because of Ish is the rabot et nochri lavad et umot that they're allowed to bring nidarim and nidavot to the mikdash, but they have no distinction about mumar no mumar. Without this distinction between mumar and non mumar, the goy can bring it no matter what. Jews have a distinction that only a non mumar can bring the korban, not a mumar. Right, so now mina beima, the pasuk continues, mina beima, lavi bnei adam shedomim lebeima. That comes to include people that look like animals. So what does that mean? People who are ovrei avera. So now we have mikan amru, mikablim, karbonot miposhei Yisrael. We accept karbonot from sinners, kedei sheyachzru behem b'tshuva, in order that they should do tshuva. So this is one of those heterim type of ideas that we allow, or you have a dispensation in certain instances where it will help somebody do tshuva, therefore we look askance slightly. So now this idea, Tosfos says, by the way, it's very interesting. Tosfos says, lab time adekra kadarish. He's not explaining the reason in the pasuk. Elonote in tam davar. They're explaining why the din is this way. The pasuk gives you the din. They're not saying this is the reason behind the din, but they're saying, okay, once we have the din, why would the din be such? There's a difference, because if you say it's time of the craw, then that would govern in instances where it doesn't work out. Well, you know for sure he's not going to do tshuva. Maybe you can't accept it. There are other things, other reasons. But if it's just an post fact, meaning that after we have the din, we try to explain the din, then that doesn't mean that's the sole reason, but it's trying to explain something about it. So here's the mekanu mekaplein kamen open but yisrael kadesh akzuru behem b'tshuva chutz min amumar. The exclusions to that will be someone who's a mumar, someone who does nisuch yayin, meaning avodah zarah, mechalel shabbat beferhesya, and someone who is a public violator of Shabbat. Aguf agasha, he says, what are you talking about here? We just said that we made this chiluk that a mumar cannot bring a korban, and now you're saying a mumar can bring a korban. What's going on here? Aguf agasha, marta mikem velo kuchem. You said mikem velo kuchem lo tziyat a mumar. That comes to exclude a mumar. Vahadur toni, mikablim karbonot miposhei Yisrael. Then we say, okay, no, we accept karbonot from poshei Yisrael. So, halo kasha. Reisha mumar lechola Torah kula. Reisha, where we say the mumar is precluded from bringing such a korban, is a case where he violates all the Torah. He's a mumar lechola Torah kula. Mitziyata, this middle case where we said that a mumar can bring it, is mumar ledavar achad. He's a sinner in one area, and we allow him to bring the korban because we want him to do tshuva. Ima seifa. Now, what are you going to do with the last part of this braita? Chutz min amumar. Hi mumar, hey chidami. What are you left with? Imumar lechola tura kula. If he's a mumar lechola tura, that's high in the ratio. We already discussed that in the ratio. Vimumar ledavar echad. If he's a mumar for one item in the Torah, kasha mitziyata. We already discussed that in the middle case of the braita. Elalav hachikamar. This last section of the braita must mean this. Chutz min hamumar linasech et hayayin ulechalel shabbatot b'varesya. It's not that mumar is a single category. No, the mumar has been qualified by the next two statements, which is yayin nesech and shabbatot b'varesya chilul shabbat, which means avodah zarah and chilul shabbat have a different status than any other avera, which we know. So alma, from that you can conclude that mumar, but without chalavim, a mumar lechol Torah kula is a mumar for the whole Torah. Utuyufta the Ravanan vituyufta is a strong question against Ravanan. Amar Shmuel said that someone who is a mumar the avodah zarah can do shechita. So here we see that status is different. And as Rashi points out, Hatana Chamir Le Shabbat Ki Avodat Chachamim Tovei Kovei Chachamim Kofir BaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very basic tenet of Judaism that you don't worship avodah zarah and there's only one God. So if you violate that, you basically undermine the Kol Torah Kulda. V'amichalel Shabbat Kofir B'Masav Me'id Sheker Shalo Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Breishit. I would say that there are two aspects of belief in Hashem. One is that Hashem created the world, and the second one is that Hashem is Mashkiach on the Olam. That after He created the world, He still interacts with the world. Avodah Zarah is, or the rejection of Avodah Zarah is the acceptance of God being the creator of the world, that God is the lone and sole creator of the world, there's no other God besides Him. The Shabbat, the keeping of Shabbat, is an indication that one believes that Hashem is Mashkiach in Olam. Because the fact that we rest on Shabbat from work is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested and still interacts with the world, and we show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the one who's Meniyat Olam, is the one who moves the world. So that's an Eidut. Shabbat is that Eidut, that Hashem is Mashkiach Olam. So those two aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are also, we say in Shema every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad, which is the acceptance of Omachut Shemaim, and then Yitziat Mitzrayim is the acceptance or the recognition that Hashem is Mashkiach al Olam. So those two aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are fundamental beliefs of the faith, and if one rejects, or one accepts Avodah Zarah or doesn't keep Shabbat, he is in breach of those two items, and therefore it's like Ilu, he violates Kol HaTorah Kula. And we know that the status of an individual, someone who is a violator of Shabbos Mepharsi, or someone who is a Mumar, Avodah Zarah, has a different status. For instance, the Gabay Nemanut, the Gabay Yayin, all of these, he loses, he's stripped of a certain status of Nemanut that a Jew has in general. He's stripped of it by those, not, no other mitzvah has that, but by those two mitzvahs, you're stripped of that status, and that's because of this elevated status that they have. Hilu, that he's violating Kula Torah Kula. Where it says, is that where we learn it from? We learn from the Pasuk here, in Mikam and Mina Behema. That's what we learn all of this from. We learn it out from Mei Am Haaretz. This is the Pasuk later on by the Chatat. It says, Mei Am Haaretz, that they're Chatat Bishkaga, Prat Lemumar. It comes to exclude Mumar. Rabbi Shimon Yosi Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Asher Lo Tasena Bishkaga. That he didn't do, he did it. Asher Lo Tasena Bishkaga. Something you shouldn't do, that he did it by accident, by shame. Hashav Mi Yediato Mevi Karban Ashigelto. Someone who would have had a different frame of mind had he known what he was supposed to do. Enoshav Mi Yediato. Someone who would never have changed their mind had they known the right answer. Inu Mevi Karban Ashigelto. The basic premise is that you made a mistake here. And you can bring a chatat because you made a mistake. What was the mistake? You were missing information. You made a mistake. You forgot about something and you did an aveira. The implications are, had we warned you ahead of time, had we told you this information, you wouldn't have done the aveira. But someone who is a mumar, they're not going to listen to you. Even if you tell them the information, they're going to continue to do the aveira. And therefore, they are precluded from bringing the korban. They cannot bring a korban because they're not a shabmid diato. They would never have changed their mind had they known the right or correct information. So that where it says, Ramina, my benayu. What's the difference between the Tanakhama here and Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Yossi? From Rabbi Hamnuna, this is a gemara that we saw together in Horiot. Mumar lechol chilev, vevi karban al adam. Someone who is a mumar to eat chilev, but then instead he's trying to bring a chatat al adam. Ike benayu. That's the difference between them. Meaning that when you have someone who is problematic by one aveira and not problematic by another aveira, what's the status? So over here, the Tanakhama would say, listen, he's problematic because lo kol ha'am, not everybody can bring this. And since this individual is a mumar, he can't bring a korban chatat. Rabbi Shimon Yossi says, no, it depends on whether if we gave him information, he would have changed his mind. Over here, if you told him that dam was problematic, he would not have eaten the dam. And therefore, he's entitled to bring the korban chatat. In Chalev, no, he would not be entitled to bring it. But over here, he would be entitled to bring such a korban because he would have been Shabbat Diato. Correct, correct. The Gemara wants to know why we need two brito, two limudim. So Gemara answers easily, chad b'chatat v'chad b'olah. One's for a chatat, and one's for an olah. I reject the chatat of this individual because he's bringing kapara. It's like someone who goes and says, I'm going to do the aveira, and then I'll do tshuva afterwards. So why are we going to let that person bring a korban, the chatat? Why should he be entitled to kapara? We're not going to let him bring the chatat. On the other hand, olah, the doronu, olah, which is simply a gift, that's not a stir minei oved, he's not sinning to bring the korban. On the other hand, v'yashmin and olah, if you told me by the olah that he can't bring a mishum delav chiyuvo, because then there's no obligation on him to bring the olah. So we're not going to accept a voluntary offering from someone who's a sinner. V'chatat chiyuvo, that's an obligation. Maybe we should accept it. So tricha. So therefore we need both of them. We need both the chatat. And let's tell me we reject it. By mumar, we reject both types of korbanot, both the olah and the chatat. Because of your asking a basic question, why does the Gemara think that there's a steer between the Braita? I think Tzvi was raising this issue a little bit before. Which is here the Braita says that if you're a mumar for one thing, the Tanakhama says you can't bring it at all. The previous Braita said if you're a mumar for one item, then we accept him because she yachzeru b'tshuva, so they should do tshuva. So the Braita are actually arguing with each other. They're actually not saying the same thing. One is saying that the first Braita said if you're a mumar l'chol Torah kula, you can't bring a korban. This Braita says if you're a mumar for one item, you can't bring a korban. That's from Shimon bar Yosi. The Tanakhama does not make that distinction. The Tanakhama says you can't bring korbanot at all. So Tosa says, Tosa comes up, it's an unbelievable statement here. Tosa says this, Farish Rabbeinu Tam, the mumar lechol chelev, and a mumar lechol Torah kula. That someone who is a mumar for chelev is a mumar lechol Torah kula, chutz midam. Okay, Ashkechan, because we see in many places, that chatat chelev is the representative chatat. When we talk about the classic type of chatat you bring, when the Gemara uses the term chatat chelev, it means any chatat. So someone is a violator here by chelev is an example of an individual who is a violator of Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam suggests. Aval, the mumar l'davar achad, the divya kol mevi. And that would mean that this braita, they would agree. Here, when it says, mumar l'chelev doesn't mean literally l'chelev, it means the Kol HaTorah Kula chutz midam. So that's one possibility. Tosafot brings a second possibility, that the issue here is dafka b'chelev in dam. But Chelev and Dam have something unique about them. Number one, they're written in the same pasuk. Chol Chelev v'chol Dam lo tochelu. The Isur comes out of the exact same pasuk. That's number one. Number two, they both have karet associated with them. And number three is they're both about achila. So that's the question here. The question here is about this unique case of Chelev and Dam. In Ochanami, if there's any other mitzvah in the Torah, we would let you bring the other korban. The uniqueness here is about Chelev and Dam. Since Chelev and Dam come out of the same pasuk, plus their achila, plus their karet, we would think that a person who does it, who is willing to be mumar the Chelev, is also, the Tanakh says, automatically a mumar the Dam. Why is he not eating Dam? Because it's disgusting. He finds it disgusting. So fine, the fact that he doesn't eat Dam is only because he finds it personally revolting, but not because he wouldn't have eaten. He would eat Dam, he would have no problem with it. It just happens to be that it's personally revolting to him. So since they're in the same pasuk, they're in the same category, we say, forget it. He's out. He can't. If he can't bring it for Chelev, he can't bring it for Dam either. Shemba Yossi says, no, we separate between them. There are two different Isurim here, and there are two different Chataot. If he can't bring it for Chelev, fine. But for Dam, he can bring it, and he would have been Shav Min Diato. So that's their machloket over here. So Tosfos recreates the machloket over here. So this Braita actually stims, it fits in with the previous Braita that we saw, that it's actually a Stira in the Gemara. So either he says, our Braita is not about Kol HaTorah Kula, or he says, our Braita has a unique case of Chelev and Dam. That's why they're taking a Mumar. The Davar Achad will be a Mumar for other things. The other thing is Dam, not for anything else. And therefore, the Braita do not argue, saying the same thing. And that's why the Gemara brought them up against each other. Other thing that Tosfos points out over here, which Rashi mentions in his commentary, he says, Rashi mentioned on the Tut Stadim, which is number one, Zevach Rishayim Toeva, which is, why shouldn't a person bring an olah when he's a sinner? Is because Zevach Rishayim Toeva. He shouldn't bring an olah. We don't want any korban from him. On the other side, Chatat, why shouldn't you bring a Chatat? Because here's a person who did a sin and says, I'm going to do tshuva after I do the sin. And we know that doesn't work. If someone says, Echtav Ashuv, then it doesn't work. So this is a classic case of Echtav Ashuv. Person knows he's doing it wrong, says, I'll bring a korban afterwards, the kapara. That doesn't work. Tosa says, okay, then why do I need the pasuk of Enu Shav Mi Diato for? Enu Shav Mi Diato, if you tell me the pasuk says Enu Shav Mi Diato, therefore he can't bring a korban chatat, just say, Zevach Hushayim Toeva. And he's not allowed to bring the korban chatat for that reason. He's a Rosha, he can't bring the korban. So Tosa says, I need it. V'yesh lomar, Yitzhu Ve'echa Dechazer B'tshuva Achar Kach. Cases where he does tshuva later on. He wants to be, he's about tshuva. But at the time that he did this aveira, and had you told him the information, he wouldn't have been shav midiato. So that individual is precluded from being in the chatat because of shav midiato, not because of zerach v'shayim toiva. Because later on in life, he decides he wants to do tshuva, and he comes back. So now when he does that tshuva, now he's no longer a rush, and it's not zerach v'shayim toiva. On the other hand, he can't go back and bring that chatat because he wouldn't have been enu shav miyadiyato. At the time that he did the sin, he would not have rectified his situation. And now the Gemara goes on to a little sidebar here. It says that we learn from mina behema. Mina behema is anashim adomim lebehema. And people that are similar to behemot mean that they're sinners. So Gemara says, v'chol heicha dechti behema griyutai. Every time the word behema is used, it's a negative term, v'aktiv. Adamu behema toshi Hashem. It says, and we say this every week at mincha time, this week, because it's Rosh Chodesh, correct? Adam of Veima Toshi Hashem. Ram Rav Yehuda Marav, Elu Bnei Adam, Shein Arumim Bedat, Umisimim Atzman Ki Beheima. Now what does it mean, Adam U Beheima? The Beheima is a description of certain individuals who are Arumim Bedat. Arumim Bedat is a positive statement over here, that they are very wise, but humble. That's what the Beheima is. So there you see the word Beheima is used in a positive sense, not in a negative sense. Might say, how come Tiv Adamu Behema? It juxtaposes Adamu Behema. Hocha Behema Luchudek Tiv. Over here in our pasuk that we quoted Mina Behema is Behema by itself. Might says, Voyecha Diktiv Adamu Behema Maltahi. Every time you use the term Adamu Behema in juxtaposition, then it's a positive term Behema, Vaktiv. It says in the parak in Yirmiyahu, Bezarati at Beit Yisrael Zera Adam Bezera Behema. That parak is the same parak which is found at Ben Yakir Li Ephraim. But after it is, Vayoba Yomahu Hashem Karati Brit Chadasha. It's a very famous parak in Yirmiyahu. Over there it says, Zerati at Beit Yisrael Zera Adam Bezera Behema. That I will multiply Bnei Yisrael, Zer Adam Zer Behema, Hatam, Ha Chalkei Kra, the pasuk split it. Zer Adam Lechud, Zer Behema Lechud. Zer Adam by itself, and then Zer Behema. It doesn't put them, juxtapose them together and say Adam Ubehema, Zer Adam Ubehema. Puts them each in their own category. Over there, Rashi points out that the limud that the Gemara has over there is what is it, Behema? Behema is lo karav, lo shanav, lo shimesh tamidei chachamim. Alav HaKadub Amer, Zerati at Beit Yisrael, Zer Adam Zer Behema. Klomar, HaChachamim, Zer Adam is the chachamim, and Zer Behema is the burim. So that Hashem will kulam, Hashem will multiply and bring back. So over there, Behema is referring to someone that is a boor. ignoramus, someone who's not steeped in Torah, the ways of Torah, and even missing some type of sort of civility and etiquette. So that boor, that's what they're referring to. So we see there it's negative. The Gemara says no problem, because there it says behemah and adam are separated into two separate categories. It says zera adam, zera behemah. But the case of adam and behemah, toshi Hashem, they're put together. So Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Yachob, Yidam Rav Yishua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino, Nimnu al Shkitat Kutiv Asua. They got together and they were Oser Shkitat Kutiv. Rashi says here, Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino, which we find in other places, refers to Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the son of Rabbi. He was the Rabbi Gamliel who was in the transition generation between the Tanaim and Amoraim, Rabbi being the last of the Tanaim, Rav Shmuel, and all those being the first generation of Amoraim. In between, you have people like Abba Bar Abba, the father of Shmuel. You have Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, the sons of Rabbi. They're in that transition generation between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. So that's the Rabbi Gamliel that we're talking about over here. Tosfos says no. He thinks it's talking about Rabbi Gamliel as a Cain. Back, you know, from the stories in Brachot and the story in Rosh Hashanah, back in the time of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel as a king. That's what we're talking about over here, Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino. Rashi is helped by other places in Shas, where we have Gzeirot that were instituted by Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino. Some of them were added into the Mishnah at a later date. They're actually, they don't belong in the Mishnah, but it was an addition later on to the Mishnah that talks about it. So that's why, because Ubeit Dino, whereas Rabbi Gamliel Azakin is originally referred to just as Rabbi Gamliel, not Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino. That helps Rashi. Tosfos has other reasons why, because he has problems with the Gzeira and when the Gzeira came into effect. So therefore, Tosfos wants to move it back to Rabbi Gamliel Azakin. So Nimno Ashkita Girasu, Amale Rabbi Zeira, the Rabbi Yaakov Baidi, Shema Lo Shama Rabbi. Maybe he didn't heard. Ella b'she'in Yisrael made on gabav. We have now b'stira. Our mission seems to suggest, based on the explanations that we had before, that shkitat kuti is fine. And then we have Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino over here saying that shkitat kuti is problematic. So he says maybe that stira, you didn't hear that you can resolve that stira by saying b'she'in Yisrael made on gabav. But there's no Jew overseeing it. And the only time that we said in our Mishnah that it's okay for a kuti to do it when it's Yisrael made on gabav. Or nichnas v'yotzeh, according to Rava, but something, you have to have some sort of shimur over there in order for it to be good. So to resolve the steer between the Braita and the Mishnah, you could just say the difference is whether it's Yisrael made on gabav. So Amalei, dummy, hi, mid rabbanan, gedula, gemamri, yinche, shmaita. So he says, what, you think that this individual thinks that as if we didn't learn anything, we don't know any of this information? Can you, Yisrael made on gabav, the memorable? So what do you need? You need to tell us, Shein Yisrael made on gabav? And that's so obvious. It's so obvious. The only time that Shkita Kuti is okay is when Yisrael made a gabav. So now Gemara wants to know, kabbali mine or lo kabbali mine? Did he accept this distinction or didn't he accept this distinction? Rav Yaakov Bar-Idi, in responding to Rabbi Zeira, the distinction that Rabbi Zeira drew in order to reconcile between the Braita and the Mishnah, Rav Yaakov Bar-Idi says it's obvious that the case we're talking about is omed al gabav. Because she'enu omed al gabav, nobody would say that that's mutar. When Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino came along and asserted Shkita Kuti, it must be even in an instance when there's an Yisrael omed al gabav. Otherwise, what the memra boy? You need me to tell that? You need information like that? Of course, when he's not standing there, that's the case. So now the Gemara wants to know, did Rabbi Zeira accept this statement of Rabbi Yaakov Bar-Idi? Rabbi Yaakov Bar-Idi suggested that there is no such distinction, and Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino made it asur the gamra. Obviously, it has major implications. If he accepts the distinction, that means that it's still mutar when Yisrael omed al gabav, it will be mutar tev shkidat kuti. It's only when you're not omed al gabav that's the problem. Yeah, if he doesn't... Oh no, the taste test might work just as good as omed al gabav. Based on that, you would say the explanation of the Mishnah is in cases where you can test it. The explanation of Rabbi Yom Beit Dino is a case where you don't have those tests, you don't have those available to you, somebody's not watching him, or you don't have the test in hand. So that would be the implication. If you say Kabbalah Mine, that means that he thinks Rabbi Yom Beit Dino overrode the Mishnah, and you're never allowed to have Shkita Kuti. It doesn't matter if you're overseeing him, doesn't matter if you give him the test. Tashma, Damarab Nachman Zimbal Kamarab Asi, Ani Reiti at Rabbi Yochanan, She'achal Mishkita Kuti, Af Rav Asi, Achal Mishkita Kuti. Rabbi Nachman says that, Rav Asi says, I saw Rabbi Yochanan eating from Shkita Kuti, and then he also saw Rav Asi eating from Shkita Kuti, but tell you about Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira was the individual in this conversation before between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zeira was up. Lo shmielahu? You didn't hear about this? They must have not heard about this Gzeira, because otherwise, di ava shmielahu, ava mekabala. If they heard about the Gzeira, they would accept it. Odilma shmielahu, maybe they heard about the Gzeira, velo kabaloa, and they didn't accept it. Hodr Pasha the Nafshei, Rabbi Zera then answered for himself, they must have heard about the Zera and they didn't accept it. Had they not heard it, had they heard it, they would have said it was Asur. How could it be that in Tzaddik would eat something that's Asur? Which we're going to see coming up in the Gemara, that by Behema, the Behema of Rav Pinchas, that his Behema wouldn't eat stuff that was Tevel, and Hashem protects the Behema Tzaddikim from eating Isur, so do by Tzaddikim, Hashem protects them. Then Tzaddikim, Atzman, Lo Koshikim, by Tzaddikim themselves, he would not let them eat Isur. Tosos over here points out, like it does everywhere else in Shas, this is unique to Achila. This is not that they don't make mistakes. We have places in Shas where people make mistakes. We have in Shabbos, beginning of Shabbos, where he was no tetaner. We have all these cases where tzaddikim make mistakes. It's specifically about achila. That's something that is zehuma. Something that's unacceptable to ingest. Something that would be isur, and therefore Hashem protects tzaddikim from that. So over here, he would have protected them from eating it. Now the Gemara comes back to the original question that we had, which was, did Rabbi Zera accept the position of Yaakov Baridi? The Gemara says, v'isagadat chalok kiblamine. If you think that Rabbi Zera did not accept his answer of Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, lishnelei, then he could have answered this problem of seeing these chachamim who consumed shchitat kuti and say, kan shisrael made al gabav. Those instances with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi were all cases where there was Yisrael made al gabav. Kan, the gzeira, the takana of Rabbi Gamliel Beiti knows, k'shein Yisrael made al gabav, and there's no Yisrael there. Elab shmamino, from that you can prove, kablamine shmamino. The Rabbi Zera did accept the answer of Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, and therefore, because he accepted the answer, he doesn't draw that distinction anymore. Rabbi Gamliel Beiti no aser the shchitat kuti, even in a case when there's Yisrael made al gabav. Alright, we'll stop over here.